very, I must say I was very impressed. I have been to many yoga sessions, but it was, was something else. Very, very yogic. So, let me just set myself up here. Good. So I would like to. Oh, you are with us.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Why sorry? You were in the breakfast zone. We just spoke about the yoga zone. Well, Guramani Prabhu, you are our kirtan man, so you should, you can do the kirtan.
I'll support you.
Yeah? Okay, okay. Janavi Vilk intends to come?
I don't know, I haven't seen her.
She was in the kitchen. She's in the kitchen group,
okay. Okay, so we will do the end kirtan. Is that one which we always sing? No. Oh yeah, if we can kindly put it there. I'm sorry, I'm a little slow. I'm just so much in the yoga zone. It's amazing. I guess that is also what it means when you enter the inner space. You're just satisfied to stay like this. You don't have to do anything or achieve anything. You can just be. And that is really what we Westerners miss so much. This just everything is all right the way it is, and no need to do something to become better. And this is really what we mean with the more advanced states of yoga. To enter into a field of consciousness, which some call yoga consciousness, some call it super consciousness, meaning that it is beyond the normal level of consciousness. And what I have learned to be Krishna consciousness, being just aware of the Lord. So I will start in a second. That means when I'm out of the yoga zone. Maybe I should not come out of the yoga zone. My dear participants, yoginis and yogas, all of you are on the path. It's a great honor for me to lead this workshop. It's something which is very easy and very joyful for me, because I have done this many times at different yoga expositions. It is a workshop which is also close to my own heart, because it's something which I do very, very frequently. And I think someone who teaches should be mindful that his words only be a certain power at the time when he practices what he teaches. When we talk about spiritual life and teaching spiritual life, it is something which really is beyond our words. How will you describe with words the experience of love? You have to love. Or if you want to describe with words the experience of childbirth, I'm talking about something which ladies know. You have to give birth to your child, and you know what it is. Or death. Or birth. How will you describe it? Your own death and your own birth. It's something you have to experience. So spiritual life, or the world of the spirit, is ultimately to be experienced in order to be grasped. And what I want to do today is not talk so many words, but to supply all of you with an experience of meeting God through sound. There is a word in Sanskrit, it means shutekshita. Shutekshita means the path of hearing, and or seeing through the eyes of hearing. So that means we often say, can you show me God, or can you show me this, or could me show me that? I want to show you today, but you will first I will install eyes which you can see. Eyes, the eyes of the hearing process. And we will do a very powerful yogic experience where we will put sound vibration into our chakras so that they open and are then able to perceive transcendence. So it's a journey which I have in mind, and I request you to kindly give me your, I would say, your almost the best which you have, a little faith that I will take you to an interesting and a noble place. It's a journey which we will take together as a group, and a journey which will require most probably the best of us, but which will also give the best to us. Now you are all interested what you will hear. Well, I thought to teach you three dimensions of sacred sounds. The first sound is the sound which we produce with our body. It's the vachik sound. We will use our throats. The second type of sound is the sound which we hear in our mind. It is not necessarily only a sound which we perceive through the ears. I think we all know this sound when we dream, for instance, or when we are peaceful in the nature, and all of a sudden that manasic sound, that sound in the mind, comes over us. I must admit to you that before being a monk, I was had a friendly relationship to the Rolling Stones, and I would visit their concerts and listen with particular glee to the guitar playing of this wild man, Keith. And friends can talk like this amongst themselves. And I remember I was once in Zagreb, that's a capital town of Croatia. I was taking a well-deserved afternoon rest. And all of a sudden I heard this guitar of the wild man just so close to my ear that I fell out of the bed onto the floor. It was just so loud, so inhuman loud. And as I was lying on the floor, thinking I was next to the amplified loudspeaker through which Keith Richard played, I noticed there was no loudspeaker around. I was in a little bedroom. What did I just hear? I heard the sound in the mind. It was... In yoga, we bring this principle, which we all know, which we all have experienced, to manasic sound. The sound should not just be in the... on the physical level, vibrating through our physical cells, but it should be on the mental level as well and vibrate there so that divine sound can bring divinity into our mind and also bring out the furniture in our mind, I would say, the material impressions, which is all old furniture, creaky, creepy furniture in some cases, and it should bring that out. And finally, I would like to install the sound not just in the mind, but not just in the body, but in the sacred space of our hearts, from which we had heard, about which we had heard yesterday night a little bit. All right. I first of all would like to get to know a little bit about you. I would request you to just introduce yourself by saying, my name is so-and-so, and then please say one sentence where you are in your experience of chanting. You can say, I like chanting, but it would be much better you say, you start a sentence like, when I chant, I feel such and such. I need to know this because I will take you on a very deep journey and I need to know where my audience is. And I think we all need to also experience ourselves as a community of chanters, as because this will be a little advanced mantra meditation. So please, can we? Let me start to start something up. When I chant, I switch off my material consciousness, and something switches on, which I would call spiritual consciousness, where I'm aware of spiritual reality. I forgot to say, my name is Sachinandan Swami. All right. Brief, that's the idea, because we have a limited amount of time. Yes, we can... I don't know. I think it might help us to have a microphone so that we don't need to scream. If you prefer to be silent, you can also do that. But it would really be good to enter this community spirit. So, all right. Maybe we can just go like zip, zig, zack, zig, zack, sweeping, so everyone.
When I chant, it's like someone's turned on the happiness switch in me, and I feel like my whole being just flood with an indescribable happiness. I feel like I'm floating on waves of happiness.
Wonderful! I'm proud of you.
My name is Jenna, and when I chant, I feel that we're all connected. And And when I'm on the subway, I try to hear everybody's heartbeat, and I realize that everybody's heartbeat is at a different rhythm, and it affects everybody else. So that's what I try to do when I'm spacing out, or it looks like I'm spacing out.
Thank you.
My name is Gaura Haridas, and when I chant, I develop the hope of a divine meeting.
Oh. So enriching to hear from all of you. Gina, we have to talk about this hearing the heartbeat. I want to recommend a book to you. Yes.
My name is Gauravani, and I chant a lot of the time. I spend many hours of my life chanting. But mostly what I try and do is just listen to everyone else's chanting when I'm singing. I'm trying very, very hard to just hear everyone else's chanting.
Wonderful.
I'm Ishwari. When I chant, it's hard even to put into words because it's so huge. But what came to me first was I feel as though I'm transported down the river, like, just taken away, and I hope everyone is coming with me. That's how I feel.
Hi, I'm Danielle. When I chant, I feel a sense of relaxation and calmness, and I agree with Jenna about feeling a deep sense of connection and community, and by the end, because of that connection, I think I am elevated to a deep sense of joy.
Wonderful.
Hi, I'm Tonka. And when I chant, I try to, first of all, not think about anything else and kind of like this, give a voice to that space that I'm trying to create inside and kind of like vocalize it in a way. Perceive it as a
wonderful,
you know, as a peaceful song coming out.
Uh-huh.
Other than words, because sometimes you just use words. And it's a different way to express myself.
Thank you.
I'm a human, and I really haven't chanted much before, so I guess when I chant, I'm still a little self-conscious.
My name is Gopi, short for Gopinath, and I've discovered that chanting is the cheapest and easiest way to a happy life. When I chant, I find myself in a state of joy and bliss and just open-hearted. It's also a great productivity tool. I started using it at work and I just turned it on, and it helps me power through a lot of stuff, keep chanting. You know, music, Gauravani's music playing on my headset, and I'm twice as productive.
Hi, my name is Deborah. When I chant, it's a combination of a lot of people. I feel very connected to everyone, and I also feel very grateful for the practice and the teachings that come with it. So it just it makes me feel very close to everyone, peaceful. And I have it always in the background at home on the computer or in my head, so I hear it on the subway, and it's programming. Very lucky.
Hello, I'm Nora, and I've been chanting for 5 years through regularly, and when I chant, whenever I chant, I go beyond the self-imposed limitations in my conscious life. It's very powerful and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Jean, and I rarely chant, but when I hear others chant, it's a heart-opening experience.
Wonderful.
My name is excuse me.
I'm
sorry.
No problem.
Heather, and when I chant, I am trying to connect with a friend within myself, and like also a mother who would be singing a lullaby. I try to chant with humility and honesty, and it's challenging. I'm just a beginner, and I find that these discussions are always most helpful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm Ruchi.
Ruchi?
Ruchi.
Wonderful.
When I chant, I feel more connected to myself and to a mother spirit that's very loving and forgiving if I get the words wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Ranga, or Ranga Devi, and when I chant, I feel like certain sort of anxieties and fears and noise of the mind begins to melt away, and I'm able to tune into God's direction within my heart and my intuition. So it helps just to calm the mental noise and certain fears melt away.
Hi, my name is Eileen, and I'm fairly new to chanting, like you and Heather. But I found that recently a kirtan junkie. So I was at the 12-hour kirtan at the Bhakti Mandira last weekend. And I think chanting for me just really brings forth an inner peace where that gets lost oftentimes in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
People caught up in the rat race and the life. So really takes me out of that universe into another one where I can explore myself and who I really am.
Hi, my name is Lisa. Gosh, chanting means so many things. I guess it's definitely that sense of connection to something bigger than myself, and it's just always for me an opportunity for opening my heart.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Hi, I'm Julia. When I chant, I feel a variety of things. Sometimes very tender, sometimes sad, but open and connected. Also, I love chanting a lot.
Hi, my name is Yangti. When I chant, I feel a sense of calm, an equanimity, an acceptance. I guess it's sort of annoying, and I feel that that you can take on many levels, but knowing, getting to know myself, but also getting to know humans, mankind, that's a whole topic on its own, but I have a yoga studio, and as you can imagine, the atmosphere in the yoga studio is full of teachers on their own agenda, sometimes giving, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
You have people coming to the studio looking, they're seekers, they're searching. Some of them are completely confused. Some of them are giving. But I find that chanting, when I do my japa, when I'm on my own, but even in the studio around our building, it purifies the energy, and the atmosphere is amazing. So I'd like to share that a little bit.
Wonderful.
My name is Peter. I'm addicted to chanting. I just get up. I feel like when doing chanting japa, there's an energy, almost like a living energy of happiness and bliss, which you connect to. And I feel like I engage in it and connect to it. And then I begin to see things. That's basically it. I could
give up. My name is Michael. If I chant for acceptance, like be more accepted.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Hi, my name is Zoe, and when I chant, I feel a sense of joy and motion, and that we're all opening and sort of gathering around each other.
Hi, my name is George, and chanting is an invitation, a heart invitation. Not unlike the silence in the woods. I don't chant a great deal. I tend to be in the woods. But it's something that I'm open to exploring.
My name is Susan, and when I chant, I lose my mind, and that's a very good thing. This is what I aspire to. I feel very transcendent, and I feel love, a huge amount of love. It overwhelms me and scares me too, but that feeling is beautiful.
My name is Ken, and I've been all my life attracted to listening and loving sounds, and so my my experience with chanting was first one of feeling and loving the sound of it, and it's a relatively new experience for me to participate in being part of making that sound, and I'm very attracted to that too.
My name is Kirtan. I want to kind of speak specifically about chanting on my own and not japa, because I don't chant japa that much, but I find that mantras kind of just bubble up in strange places. Sometimes I sing out loud, but kind of like a deep wellspring, the water just bubbles up to the surface. It can't help it. It's just doing it, and I just feel like maybe that's the best analogy. The mantra is just bubbling up and coming out.
Thanks, Jason.
Japa and actually kirtan are much different for me. Japa, I feel like I'm going on an adventure, and it usually takes me in many different places. Kirtan is just ecstatic. Kirtan is just
Thank you.
My name is Julia. I am relatively new to chanting. I was very fortunate in starting my chanting life at a Japa retreat in Delphi, Georgia. Sachinandana was the keynote speaker, and there were other people there whose names I can't remember, but they were wonderful speakers too. But when I chant, I'm sort of transported into another place where my heart and the hearts of the other people who are chanting, if they're chanting, are going toward Krishna and meeting him and being part of his world. When I chant along, I recall the peacefulness and the oneness that I've had in chanting in groups, and I try to bring that peacefulness to myself and to my day and to the work I do and my contact with others.
Well, I'm George, another George here, and I have been participating in chants, but my aim is to actually adopt mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, whenever I feel that there are pressures or a sense of, I live in New York as well, for a lot of time, and you become more impatient when you're not achieving, getting, or the trains are not coming on the schedule that you would have liked to use the mantra to say that eventually I will finish that mantra when the trains come, and that eventually they will come. And that this I try to adopt in terms of many other things, where the tendency to be impatient with people, things, objects, you substitute the mantra and you continue the mantra and you know that eventually it will arrive.
Hi, CP. I don't do a regular chanting, but one way I experience it is a little like Kirtan described. I get a little like Maharaj talked about yesterday, the breathing. I get breathed So when I try to quiet my mind and have nothing there, the chantra, the mantra comes. And the other time is when I am considering going into potentially hostile or less than loving and friendly situations. Then I actively chant and I feel more secure and more centered, and I could ride out that difficult situation.
Hello, I'm Rukmini, and I feel very honored to be with all of you, and I'm very impressed with the different, you know, reactions that you have to chanting. And sometimes I think, wow, what am I doing that I'm not getting some of those responses? I'm very happy for you. My chanting, I've been chanting for a long time, and I go through different phases and stages, some very ecstatic and others very internal. And mainly when I chant, I feel a great sense of relief from pressures in life, and I feel much more connected to that mystery and magic in life, and a sense of connection to Krishna as a person, and that he is with me at all times. And that's about it for now.
My name's Kurt, and I'm still exploring the chant because boredom is a very, it's a big monster that I fight with that. But kirtan works for me. And when it works for me, it feels like there's a river of love and grace and peace, and the kirtan is my boat. And then when it gets ecstatic, I just, the boat dissolves and I become part of the river. So I'm trying to bring that towards the chant. Maybe that'll happen.
My name is Sri, or Sri Garangi. In the beginning, when I was chanting, I was feeling like it was a very arduous process. And as I continued with it, I noticed it has been like a life-saving grace for me at very low points of my life. And now I feel like I'm just coming home to a place where there's no anxiety or no fear. And more I feel inspired to help share this process with others.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's why you work in the reception of this retreat, I think. Yes, there's one person left. Yes, there are two persons left. What is your good name?
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you to all of you. My teachers, I feel like I'm in a room full of teachers, so thank you for the lessons you've shared already and the teaching that I hope to absorb the rest of the weekend. So, I think the question has to do with chanting and our relation to it. So I don't have a strong practice of chanting. I came to it via doing asanas and yoga, and it has come to me at times in my life when it's been most particularly surfing very large waves, which I'm not that great a surfer. And the first time the mantras and the chanting came to me is actually surfing and being really scared on the surfboard and thinking, I'm not going to make it out of these waves. And which I think is a really good metaphor for just chanting in general in my life to help me get through those waves. So so it's come to me, not on a regular basis, but when I need it. And I hope it becomes more of a regular basis and not just in periods of crisis.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Can we have the microphone just for Tulsi and I? Oh, Krishna, the time is not on our side today. the idea, the question is, what do you feel when you chant?
My name is Janavi. First, I just wanted to thank everybody. I just feel so happy hearing everybody's comments. I was just thinking, I wish we could collect them all and make a book. It's really inspiring to hear.
I was just thinking as you were all speaking, I've grown up with chanting, and sometimes I have a feeling when I chant that it's something very comforting because I've grown up with it, and so sometimes I used to think, I wonder if that's coming from the chanting, or is it just that it's something familiar, just like, you know, your mom's cooking or something, that it's just something that you grew up with, so therefore you find it. But I had a realization that actually it's because it is something that I've been doing for a very long time, but it's a deeper memory, and I think it's a memory like that for all of us, because it's actually our true nature. That's where we belong in kirtan or japa, or that connection. That's something that's more deep than anything else that we can experience in one lifetime. So that's the greatest thing for me, I feel, when I chant, just feeling very connected. And also, I think it's the only thing I can think of that keeps me very grounded, and in perspective of who I am and where I fit in with everything. So feeling kind of a little bit humble and understanding that there's so much greater than me, but at the same time it makes me feel so transcendent, and it lifts me up so high. So it's like the only thing I can think of is pulls in both directions at the same time. That's really special.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much for your very good description. It is also, and I'm getting courage to now take you on a journey which is quite deep. I give retreats all over the world, and one of the retreats is describing the different levels of chanting which I was talking about. This workshop will be a summary of the retreats. In the retreats we really teach that in order to have the deepest experience in chanting, we need to align what we have, body, the mind, and the heart. The word alignment is used in cars when you have the fuel aligned with the cylinders, you know, it's at the right place, and there is a different movement going on, then the energy of locomotion can take place. But if you have not aligned the machine properly, if there's fuel missing, or if the gears are not aligned to each other, then the car won't move. So when you speak of chanting either kirtan or japa, you need to align the body, the mind, and the heart so that you will move to a transcendental level of spirituality. So what we will first do is we will work with the body. We will go through the gate of the body, then we will go to the second gate, the gate of the mind. And then we will go through the third gate, the gate of the heart. Write it here. After we have done this, we will appear, no, we will come to a place where no technique, no self-made endeavor can help us any longer. We will come to a door which only opens from the inside, not from the outside by our own efforts. This corresponds to a temple in Sri Rangana, Sri Rangam. Who has ever visited the temple in Sri Rangam? 1, 2, 3 people. You go through a gopuram, it's a gate, and then you come to a second vault-in area where another gate has to be passed. Then you come to a third vault-in area where the third gate has to be passed. And then you come before the altar, and then you have to wait. Be patient. Wait for a revelation. I once came there, early in the morning, but the altar doors were closed. They brought an elephant to make a sound, to wake up the one who was behind the altar doors, Ranganath or Krishna. But his doors remained closed until he chose, through his priests, to give his darshan. So when you chant, you align your body, you align your mind, you align your heart also. But ultimately, for the full revelation, which is the God real revelation, we have to wait until He chooses to reveal Himself. Does this mean everything is useless before that revelation? No, no. Our body will be spiritualized and we will have amazing experiences. Diseases will leave us. Our mind will become free from so many stuff you say in the American slang, I think. Our heart will open. But let us be very, very aware of this, that the ultimate result of chanting can be felt when there is a divine revelation of God. And that, to speak in American English, will just totally blow us away. I'm learning. Let us speak in English. It will totally overwhelm us. It will purify us. It will sanctify us. It will carry us from this world into the divine world. So what I will teach you is to align body, mind, and heart. But this is between you and God, the ultimate realization. I remember I was last winter in Jagannath Puri, and I chanted from morning till night. Once I was sitting in a temple, I had gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it was about 8 o'clock, and I was a little drowsy. I was between sleep and dreamless sleep, and trying to always stay awake, until I heard someone asking me a question. Are you still chanting, trying to chant the name, or is the name chanting you? And this brings us to what Kirtan Prabhu was telling us. He said that his cherished dream or cherished practice is when he feels that the divine reality enters him, comes, I will say it in a word, the way the scriptures say, and moves us. Takes, we can call it passive spiritualism, or maybe a little bit better, receiving grace. My dear participants, the ultimate experience in chanting is when you are not doing anything any longer. You have moved out of the way, and God is there and is moving you. And that is something which we can sometimes maybe feel in a little glimpse. But when we feel it fuller, we first come into samadhi, and then we come from the bottom of samadhi into the divine ecstasy, which moves us and which will be very wonderful. So, all right, Having said enough, are you ready with me to go through the gates?
Yes.
I need this confirmation. It will not be scary. Don't worry. Don't worry. I have taken careful inventory of where you are and what you have experienced. So, oh yeah. Yes, I will call upon you, Janavi, but this will be first without anything, very, very minimalistic. I would like to request you to take on a comfortable but tall sitting posture. If you do need something to prop up your, is it called sacred bottom or sacred behind? Kirtan, what is a socially acceptable word for this? Yeah, so. I request you to exhale very, very forcefully, deep in your exhale, and do a few very gentle breathings now. When I give you a sign, I again request you to forcefully exhale. The sign will be a sound of the cartels. The idea is that you get all air out and then totally relax into comfort breathing. Okay, it comes. Out, 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 more out. Now, relaxing breathing. Once again, we will do it. The more you give effort to really getting all the air out of your system, you will experience more peace inside of you. So one more time, I admit it's a little intense, but one more time. Breathe in. Peaceful in and exhale. We will now enter the temple of sound. Sit tall, please. Now imagine your body to be like a shirt which you are hanging on a hanger. Will totally relax the body now while remaining incredibly alert. Start with your shoulders. Relax all the muscles of your shoulders. While you breathe in deep and breathe out deep, relax your torso. That is always normal when you relax. Please don't feel embarrassed. When one relaxes, sometimes tensions go and we cough and no problem at all. Now relax your buttocks and the legs up to your toes by imagining to give them fully to the feeling of weight. Just relax them. And place yourself trustingly to the feeling of weight. Now imagine that your body is like a temple. A temple with a floor, a temple with a space above your heads, and the temple dome. We will now place the sacred syllable Ram into all these different areas. And we will make our body a temple of sound, where we as the soul reside. Kindly take your attention to the floor of the temple, your bottom. I will now one time say the syllable Ram, and then give you a sign with the bells when you kindly chant three times together with the syllable Ram. Please be sensitive to the group energy. Attention goes to the floor of the temple. One time I will chant alone, then we will chant together. Ram. Kindly move your attention up into the heart space. This is the space above our heads when we are in a temple. Our attention goes to that middle portion of our physical body, and we try to vibrate the sacred syllable Ram 5 times into this space. Wherever your consciousness goes, there's where the sound will work. So kindly bring your consciousness to this heart space. I will chant one time alone, then we will all chant together. Ram. Put your attention to the heart space. And one more time. To the dome of the temple of sound, to the space just above where the top of the temple is. This corresponds to the highest, the Sahasra Chakra, through which yogis who are accomplished leave their bodies to go to the eternal world. We will chant 6 times. I will chant 1 time alone, and then we will chant 6 times together. Attention to the dome. Two times more. Space, kindly let your arms float up on an inhale as if you are a child wanting to be picked up by your mother. Bring your arms a little bit back so that your chest will open. And chant the sacred mantra Gauranga. I will first chant it alone, and then upon your sign, we will chant it together for 5 times. First alone, then together. Gauranga. 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 Please keep the arms stretched. You will enjoy afterwards. Now, kindly chant one more time the syllable Ram. Chant it with all your strength, bringing your consciousness throughout your whole being, your whole body. Let the sound and the consciousness, it's important to hear this again, let the sound and the consciousness sweep through your whole body. I will one time chant alone, then we will four times chant together. Exhale, bring your arms down to the knees. When you're ready, please return to room awareness. We will now, let me look at everyone. You are ready. Okay, we will now enter the second, pass through the second gate, the mind. For chanting, it's important to make the mind one's friend. Very often the mind does not act in our interest, but against our better interest by repeating things which are not to be heard loud. I sometimes joke if I would know the technology and hook a wire to my mind, from my mind to a loudspeaker, and then let all the thoughts be amplified and come through the loudspeakers, I am sure you would not come to my seminars any longer. Especially if I don't try to be the good boy. The mind sometimes talks nonsense. Self-limiting concepts. You are not good enough. You will never make this. There's a story which I want to explain to you. tell to you. There was once a pilgrim who went on a sacred pilgrimage to the river Ganga. He was a lifelong vegetarian. When he was taking his bath in the Ganga, he was submerged to his hips in the Ganga. He did this traditional offering to Mother Ganga, where the pilgrim takes his cupped hands and then offers the water three times to the Ganga and then pours it into the Ganga. With this gesture, he says, Mother Ganga, I do not have anything. All what I have is what you gave me as your gifts. Therefore, as an offering, I, who am without anything, give the most valuable back to you. That is, your own gifts. Shh, like this. Afterwards, the pilgrim takes again a cup of water and, in reverence, drinks the water. So our pilgrim had done this successfully. He took his cupped hand in the river and he drank. And as he drank, it occurred to him, that he drank together with the water a punoglavac. No, that's a Yugoslavian word. It means in English a tadpole. Do you know what is a tadpole? It's a young frog. Has only a tail and is round, looks like an UFO, and then goes. What? He said, I'm a lifelong vegetarian. I'm going to the river Ganga to become a non-vegetarian, a meat eater? Oh no! His heart began to beat ferociously. He only made it, barely made it on the bank of the Ganga, and he laid down to die. He took it so serious. He started to waste away. People came to him and said, why are you so depressed? And he said, I've lost my all the results of my yoga and my sadhana. I have become a meat eater. What? How have you become a meat eater in the Ganga? I ate a tadpole. Ah, said the people, local people. There are no tadpoles in the Ganga. The current is too swift. Tadpoles only are in pukurs, ponds. Which is, by the way, a biological fact. So, the pilgrim had seen in his mind a tadpole, and he didn't believe the biological facts. He was, his pain was, the English word, he was unconsolably, is it unconsolable? No one could help him. Finally, he wasted so much away that he was only a step from the threshold of death when a sadhu came. And the sadhu was informed by the people what was the cause of this person's death, and he went to him and said, O dying man, be intelligent. The tadpole might still be living in your stomach. Be wise. Vomit. We can see afterwards if it's alive. So, vomit, you know. So sadhus always have a little thing with them, a little pot where they transport their water. So he had that. And inside he had a tadpole. So as the man was entrusting the inner part of his body, the inner content of his body, to the law of gravitation, let's be polite. He took his hand into the water pot and threw the tadpole into the liquid, which was there. And he said, he knocked him on the head, "See, you fool, the tadpole is very comfortably living. Now please take it. Here you have my cup. Take it and bring it quickly to the pond. Don't bring it to the Ganga. They can't live in the Ganga. There are no tadpoles in the Ganga. And you will live happily henceforward." So the man felt new hope. He took the container very enthusiastically and swiftly went to the next pond, said, "I'm so happy I didn't kill you," and just put it back into the pond. And he still lives. It's a modern story. It's a story about all of us. We might laugh about the story, but we all have concepts in our mind which are simply killing us, which are working against our own interests. For instance, we do not know clearly who we are, and we are not knowing what we are supposed to be doing. This is a problem. We don't know our Dharma. We are often invaded by desires which drive us to do things which don't serve our self-interest. And when we look back, we feel we have wasted our time. And those who are interested in money, they feel they have wasted the money. Our mind is often working against us. And you have all been into yoga sessions and you have all listened to teachings. I don't need to talk more about the mind and how it is not always working in our interest. I would, however, like to give you a very, very powerful process how to make the mind your friend, so that indeed it can work, or he can work, in your best interest. For this, I will do a simple relaxation, and then we will sing with Gauravani Prabhu. While Gauravani sings, I might tell you some instructions which will bring you further on the way. I hope it's not necessary. I will see how you all are doing. What we will do during this time is, when it's time for us to sing in the chorus, you all, then we will just bring our mind to one mantra. That is, we will try to listen to each name or each word of the Maha Mantra. We will chant the Maha Mantra. And we will go with our mind through each word. Gauravani will sing very slowly. Janavi, if you could join us also with the violin, that would be very helpful. And our task will be to be really fully present in that mantra. You can imagine that this mantra will be a stream, a golden stream of sound. And you should only remain in the middle of that stream. Don't think about anything else than just hearing that mantra, chanting that mantra. And when Gauravani sings alone, you kindly only bring your mind to listening to Gauravani. We will hear every syllable which he sings, and we will allow it, because we trust him and his good character, that his sound is a pure sound, and we will just absorb that sound. We will again be in the stream of the sound, this time in the hearing modality. Yeah? So I will remind you of this. It will be extremely simple for you. Please don't worry that you might forget what you have to do. I will remind you. But I request you now to sit tall again. This time, we will train to be just present to what is. I request you to one time exhale deeply, because then your inhale is significantly more deep. Okay. Now closely observe your breath for a few rounds and wait for further instructions. Observe how your breath enters you through the nostril and observes how it leaves you. We really wish to observe this great phenomena, breath. Kindly bring your attention to your nostrils and just observe how it feels as the breath sweeps into your body and out of your body. Try to observe the sensation. Maybe you feel a little refreshed. Maybe it's a little cooler when you breathe in. What is the sensation which you feel when you observe your breath? Kindly focus on your nostrils to experience the sensation. Now, as before, step one step back in your mind and observe how you conduct this breath experiment. Observe, in other words, how your mind observes what is the sensation when you breathe in and out. Observe yourself observing. Now, it's time to again reflect about our eternal existence. We are the observer. Too often we are pulled into being so identified that we lose that calm observer position. But now we are just like the mountain. I'm unimpressed by the clouds which come and go, the clouds of our mental thoughts. We are stable. From this position, we bring our mind to first hearing the mantra and then to singing and hearing our own chanting of mantra. It's very important that you are staying with one mantra at a time. Don't think about that there will be probably future mantras. It's just being present to one mantra. One mantra. First hearing and then singing. One mantra.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Ah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
you come now to the last dimension of sound, that which we can teach something about. I think I can keep this here because I will request you to very soon again. The dimension of the heart. Now, it is our experience in this world that our hearts seem to open the most effective way when we enter into a relationship, when we connect on a deep heart-to-heart level. I liked when George said that his experiences come very
in nature. In Germany we say it, if you want to experience God, go into the church of nature, the better. But not just going into
nature. I think George was speaking to us of being aware to the nature, something which people experience as natural, or nature mysticism. They sit and all of a sudden they recognize the harmony of everything. They feel, for instance, the experience of breath, which is all around us. Or they feel they are part of the nature. They can see that earth, water, fire, air, and ether.
And we can come to the third level where we think of a relationship. The Sanskrit word is sambandha, a bond, a deep connection which brings us and God into a bond, into a yoga, into a union, divine union. Yeah, as one chants, one thinks the chanter can think of God. When I did one retreat, I wanted to collect different opinions of great saints of India who are still with us, how they chanted, what they considered to be the best form of kirtan. And I also asked through telephone, Ramesh Baba. He doesn't go on telephone, he's not a telephone saint. But his people got my question, then asked him. And Ramesh Baba was so enthusiastic, he wrote it down on a piece of paper. He said, what he wrote down is the cream of kirtan. Cream is considered to be the best part of milk. The cream of kirtan is to sing and feel the beauty of Radha and Krishna. Huh? Meditate on the beauty of Radha and Krishna. I like that very much. It's a relationship in which he enters. The cream of kirtan is to sing and I think he wrote about and feel the beauty of Radha and Krishna. Feel the beauty of Radha and Krishna. It's, get lost, so to say it in the words of George's wife, to lose ourselves. Huh? And it's good to lose my mind, she said. Lose ourselves in the beauty of the Lord. It's a relationship, it's a connection, or in Sanskrit, a samband, a bond, a yoga, a union. So when you chant, or when you sing, you can open your heart in prayer, in yearning for a connection. And I want to read you one prayer which is very much recommended in the Bhakti tradition.
And this prayer, the devotee feels, in the beginning, I am here and you are there, and I long for you. So it starts with a longing, in other words. And then, as the longing is expressed in the kirtan, my spiritual master said, sing and chant like a child who's crying for his mother. That's best. Yeah. So as this longing is expressed, a relationship starts, a relationship. And that relationship goes from where we feel separated to the union. It's called Vipralamba and Sambhoga. No? So, I want to read to you now a simple prayer, which I, this very good prayer, first class prayer, it is the Shikshastakam prayer. And then I just request that our Gauravani will chant for a little time, because time is also there. And this session comes to the end. And in this way, we will end. I request you to keep this simple thing. Oh, my handwriting is so awful. What has happened? It's the American influence. Just joking. It was always bad. You can just go through this body. Mind means concentration, paying attention, being there, not being spaced out, but being spaced in, so to say, connected. And then you can go to the heart dimension where you express a longing, a sweet longing, a tender longing for connection. So here is the prayer for you, and when the prayer has been ended, then our Gauravani and our Janavi will sing sweetly for some time, and then we will end this session. Sit comfortably. Again, the task ahead of us is to apply what we have learned, body, mind, and heart, but with special emphasis on the heart. Here's a prayer. It is movingly describing the precariousness of a person who is disconnected. Alas, how unfortunate I am. I have fallen into this insurmountable ocean of material existence. The waves of my various desires throw me here and there. I cry out for your help. O Krishna, King of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. I belong to you. I am your servant. Deep within myself, I can feel that I have some connection to you. Somehow now I'm in adverse circumstances. There are so many impulses and desires within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot always give my full attention.
to you and your name.
But there's a sweet hope I feel from the deepest place in my heart, that you are mine. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I appeal for your grace, which will give me relief from my material existence.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna.
He went to the king and asked him to see gold, and the king said, yes, you go up the staircase, then open the door on the top of the staircase, and whatever you see behind the door is the royal treasury. It's all gold. Well, the beggar
the staircase, the most unusually nice staircase. Yes, the glimmering staircase. Why are everything is so nice here, he thought. He opened the door, looked inside the room, and saw God. Coins, vases, crowns, swords, everything, same metal, good. Then he was curious. He ran out of the treasury. What was that strange thought which came? He looked on the staircase, and he thought the staircase was, he saw the staircase was made of the same metal as what was in the treasury. But because he just didn't have experienced that gold, by knowing it is gold, he only could see in retrospect, this is gold. So the way to the goal in bhakti is the same. It's really the path and the goal is the same. But there are different stages of realization. Beginning stages, the middle stage. I hope there's never a final stage. Because God just cannot... It's never final. He's ever expanding. It's not like an object of this world. So I sincerely from my heart wish that you can make this journey. I hope that the door to the gold chamber will open, but even if it doesn't, don't worry, you are already on the golden stairs. You will see. And some of you, I mean, the way you talked, you are all realized, self-realized souls. Not less than that. You have already your experiences. So, but I wish for you that they go deeper and deeper. This is my only workshop during this retreat, and it's my last chance to say, all of you who are here for the Bhakti retreat, please know that bhakti is not limited to only chanting, although chanting is what we put emphasis at this retreat on. There are five potent forms of devotional, of bhakti, which even when you have a slight contact with them can evoke devotional ecstasies, even if you happen to be a beginner. Here we are focusing on Naam, Kirtan, but there is something like Dham, Seva, Murti, Seva, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat Smaran, and what all this is, you have to learn on the Bhakti Retreat Level 2. Called a cliffhanger, it's called. I won't tell you now, but more is to come. Time is also there. We have 50 minutes over time, and here comes the personification of the time factor. Thank you very, very much.